south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, now here's something that needs to be discussed. You know, I travel a lot. I mean, a lot. I've been to, I don't know, every Latin country, I think, except Guyana, and I go to a lot of hotels. Not many hostels, because, you know, my minimum standards are that I need my own private bathroom. And if it's in a hot place, on a beach, coast, or near the equator, at low elevations, below 3,000 feet usually, I need to have functional air conditioning, at least in the bedroom. Also, when I travel, I always take a small computer along with me. I've got a trusted little 11-inch screen job that never lets me down, because I have to do my shows on the road, like this one right now. And it has a nice, tough carrying case with it, so definitely need Wi-Fi. By the way, a nice little computer like that will run you $200 to $250 bucks on Amazon. And of course, you know, Wi-Fi is not secure because, well, everyone's using it, especially if you're sitting around in a Starbucks, which I never sit around in, or any kind of restaurant or cafe, whatever. Of course, you can always set up a hotspot with your phone, but I don't have a smartphone, so that's out of the question for me. And because I know Wi-Fi is so insecure, I never go into an email address where I'm going to do anything confidential. I'll especially avoid logging into any online banking account. You'd be wise to follow the same guidelines. But do notice, if you travel, every hotel, hostel, whatever, has what they call a business center or cubbyhole off to the side of the information desk, where there's a computer or two that anyone can log on to and use. And believe me, I've used a lot of those systems too. They're hooked up to the hotel's Wi-Fi or direct linked with Ethernet, so they got really good connections. However, they're also generally loaded up with viruses, because especially when you're in the third world, Latin America that is, everyone's plugging in a flash drive and uploading and downloading. But know that down here, seems like no one ever keeps up with their antivirus protection. Sure, it's true, just like up in the States, when you buy a new computer, there's a temporary version of someone's antivirus on there. And as for me, since in a former life I was an engineer and kept up with those things too, I still absolutely make sure I've got some kind of antivirus program going. But you have to wonder, do they work? Are they really protecting you? Well, today I've got an important antivirus tip for you perpetual travelers. I happen to be in pretty close connection with a lot of brilliant techie engineering types. Funny how my Expat Insider seminars seem to draw a lot of very smart and intellectual people. In fact, I always proclaim on the first night of the meet and greet that it's difficult for me to be in a room full of people who are smarter than I am, since when I'm not doing a seminar, I'm confronted with nothing but Latins. Is that un-PC enough for you? And I'm not just talking out of my blowhole now. There's so much evidence showing these days that, unfortunately, IQs are going down universally throughout the world. However, there are significant gaps between cultures in IQ. And I know it won't surprise you at all, you probably knew this already, that the cultures with the generally highest IQs are some of the Asian countries, like South Koreans, Japanese, Chinese, and right up there at the top of the curve come the Jews and the Germans. Does that surprise you? And with slightly lower IQs in general are Americans, Canadians, and Western Europeans. And the sad truth is that the Latino culture falls about 10 IQ basis points below the average Caucasian, American, Canadian, or Western European. And you'll hear all kinds of sociologists giving you reasons why that is. The main excuse being poor childhood nutrition. But then you'll hear the counter argument to that. A billion Chinese grew up on rice and algae with no dairy products at all in their diets. Yet their population has higher IQs than the average American. Now, before I get 1,000 emails trying to slap me up for what I just said, there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of studies that bear this out. In fact, one of the best correlations to cultural IQ is the issuance of patents and inventions for a particular culture. And in regards to patents, you know what culture blows the socks off of every other culture? That'd be the Jews and the people of German descent. Now, before I dig myself into a hole I can't get out of, I have to tell you that the number of patents filed by Latin Americans is so minuscule and dismally pathetic. I really hate to spit out those numbers in fear of embarrassing an entire culture. Or not. Maybe they just don't care. You know what? I'm going to do it anyway, because I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail on this. So let me back some of this up with statistics. And here's the bad news. According to the most recent data on international patents applied and awarded, the United States, with 330 million population, has an approximate yearly total of 120,000 international patents awarded. That works out to about one patent for every 2,750 Americans. And you know, that 330 million includes all Americans, Caucasians, Black, Latinos, babies, grannies, corrupt, lard-ass, shit-for-brains politicians, too. So remember that number. One patent for every 2,750 Americans. All right, let's switch to Asia. You've got South Korea, with around 50 million people. Now, they're registering around 13,000 patents a year, which is one patent for every 3,846 South Koreans. Then there's China, with 1.4 billion people, and they're putting out around 600,000 patents a year. That's one patent registered for about every 2,300 people. Notice that's a better record than the U.S., where you get one patent for around every 2,750 people. And now for the dismal news concerning Latin America. Listen to this. You've got Mexico, a huge country with 130 million people. Would you believe in recent years they're averaging 150? That's right, 150 patents a year. That's about one patent for every million Mexicans. So what's that say about the state of science and technology in the Mexican culture? Hey, you can look this stuff up. I didn't invent these numbers. Little pun there. And then we have what's called the intellectual powerhouse of Latin America. That'd be Argentina. They've got the most European population, that is European blood. They're the most highly educated. That is according to grade level achievements and the number of college diplomas per capita. In fact, if you were to visit Buenos Aires, the cultural center of Argentina, you'll find it's a very European-like cosmopolitan city, where practically every third or fourth person looks European or gringo. Except, of course, only a very small percentage speak English. All right, so you've got Argentina, generally known as the intellectual powerhouse of Latin America. In fact, just ask any Argentine and he'll tell you that's true. Yep, they've got a definite stuck-up attitude about being the best and the brightest in Latin America. Just have a visit down there sometime and talk to the people. Anyway, Argentina's got around 45 million people. And the average number of patents issued over the last few years? 50. Yep, I said 50 international patents issued a year. That breaks down to an average of one patent for every 900,000 Argentinos. Oh, admittedly, much better than Mexico, but dismal, beyond embarrassing in the greater scheme of things. Then you might say, what about Brazil? It's got a lot of industry the rest of Latin America just does not have. They produce their own cars, jet airplanes, helicopters. They've got practically the whole economy running on biodiesel and ethanol. So you'd think they at least would be kicking out a lot more patents than the rest of the science doofuses in Latin America. Well, here's the facts. Brazil, with around 211 million people, largest population by far in Latin America, has been, on average, filing around 250 international patents a year. That's 250. That's about one patent issued per year for every 840,000 people. Slightly better than Argentina, the intellectual powerhouse, but so pathetic compared to the US, China, South Korea, etc. You just have to shake your head and say, has anyone in Latin America ever read a science book that wasn't assigned in school or read something technical or scientific just for pure knowledge or just for the fun of it? Do any young Latin Americans have the desire to tinker with things, take them apart in the garage or in the basement? Well, I take that back. There are no basements in Latin America. I mean, when I was a kid, the nerdy kids in the neighborhood would take apart dad's lawnmower or a toaster just to see what made them tick, and then they'd reassemble them, often unsuccessfully. But so what? That's the curiosity factor that doesn't much seem to exist here in Latin America. In fact, I remember this kid, John Bartlett. He used to disassemble and reassemble his parents' TV set. Again, just to see if he could do it and see what made it tick. Man, anything mechanical, and he'd go at it. And one time he found and disassembled his mom's vibrator. Though she swore it wasn't hers, there were no other girls or ladies in the house. But let's get back to Brazil. In fact, I remember reading a story in one of the best autobiographies I've ever read called Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. It's the autobiography of the physicist Richard Feynman, who is considered to have been the second most brilliant physicist of the 20th century behind Albert Einstein. Oh, and speaking of brilliant physicists and Nobel Prize winners, and I'm not talking about the Nobel Peace Prize, which is just a popularity contest that goes out to various media whores like Obama. I'm talking about Nobel Prizes in science, a completely different animal. It won't surprise you to know that per capita, the culture that's been awarded the most Nobel Prizes in sciences by far, people with Jewish or Israeli heritage. Yep, you've got Feynman, Einstein, Oppenheimer, Heisenberg, the list goes on and on. Anyway, for all of you listeners who just might have an interest in science and really want to read one of the best autobiographies, I think, of all time, it's called Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. So what's that got to do with Brazil? Well, Richard Feynman, in that book, tells of how he was invited for an entire year to be a visiting professor of physics at the University of Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Now, as he stated in his book, only the brightest, most enlightened Brazilian students were in attendance at his courses, naturally. And his comments on the students, he said he was so disappointed he wanted to go home the first month. He said they were well-spoken and looked sharp, but all they really could do was memorize. He said in his book he was very saddened by the whole experience. He couldn't believe how unprepared, unmotivated, and their general lack of curiosity. And that, he said, is the prerequisite for coming up with new ideas. Curiosity. Then in his book, of course, he explains the root of the problem, and he also said it really couldn't be fixed. You'll have to read the book to find that out for yourself. By the way, you might have heard his name, Richard Feynman. But maybe not. You know, in the Olympics, people never remember the name of the silver medal winners. But there was a time, a couple dozen years ago, when he was all over the news. He's the guy you might recall when the Space Challenger blew up, remember that? He was head of the commission to find out why the thing blew up, and he found out instantly it was defective O-rings. Oh, and by the way, if you read that book, you'll find out there would never have been an atomic bomb without Mr. Feynman. Probably not a good thing for the world in general, but someone would have figured it out if he had. By the way, that's one of the reasons he figured why he died so young, of cancer, because he was at Los Alamos for a year or two during the war and knew he was dosed with way too many gamma rays. They didn't know much about that stuff back then. But I digress as usual. Where were you? When I started on this rant earlier in the show, we were talking about how when you walk into a hostel or hotel lobby, generally there'll be a computer in the corner somewhere that anyone can get on and start surfing. And I mentioned those computers are almost always loaded up with Trojans, bots, and viruses. So beware if you're going to stick your little flash drive in there and do some work. And though when you get on, you might see an antivirus doing a scan, most of the time the virus databases are way out of date because they just didn't renew the license. Like, who's checking, right? Although when you buy a new computer here in Latin America, it comes with a free antivirus, at least for a trial run of a couple of months anyway. You know the drill. Now, the thing is, when I run to Latin techies, computer guys at internet cafes and such, they'll tell me they've got an active antivirus running on their computer, but it's almost always the free ones you download from the net. Well, you know, nothing's for nothing. But here's the thing, and it's a very good tip. I was talking to expat Oscar the other day. You know, he's one of those brilliant guys who started many years ago with cryptocurrency mining before anyone even thought of making a shitcoin. Anyway, we were having a little antivirus discussion, and he said, you know what, Johnny? You're going to laugh at this, but it's absolutely true. I've investigated all the antivirus programs, all the supposed good ones, and I found out, finally, Windows has done it. They've come up with a very good antivirus program included with your Windows operating system. Finally, he says, the Windows Defender program that comes with Windows is good, real good. But he said that wasn't the case not so long ago. Anyway, as far as computers here in Latin America, 9 out of 10 Latinos, maybe it's 99 out of 100 Latinos, are using Windows-based platforms. Oh, sure, Latins would love to have Apple products, just like everyone would love to have a Mercedes, right? But the products are simply unaffordable for 99 out of 100 Latinos. So generally, when you see a young Latin kid with an Apple product, it's usually because he's an entitled child of the rich. Sure, Apple products are cool looking. They have a certain cachet, but I don't like them myself. I don't like that everything's up in the cloud and that you have to go on iTunes to download everything. I just hate that, which is why I personally almost always use Windows products exclusively, though they're not so great either, but that's the choices you have. And I don't like Windows 10. I don't know any gringo or expat who does. But I've also never met a Latino who's complained about any of that stuff. They just think it's great to have a computer and have an operating system that works. So I guess, once again, ignorance is bliss. And sometimes I think it's better to be a little thick in the head than to know too much. Life's a lot easier that way. In fact, if you've read the book, The Black Swan, he talks about how 99% of the population of the world are like turkeys. The author talks about how happy turkeys are when they see the farmer. Every day he brings them a big sack load of grain. He's their best friend. They love him. Even on that one day before Thanksgiving when the farmer walks over with his axe and lops their heads off. Even then, the second before they get decapitated, they're just overjoyed to see their best friend, the farmer. That would be a metaphor for Uncle Sam, by the way. Yep, turkeys, lemmings, the American public, same thing, huh? Anyway, we're back in the lobby at that little computer station in that dirtbag hotel. And when I log on to one of those machines, I can tell you exactly how many clueless idiot gringos are staying there or who've been there recently. All I have to do is punch in yahoo.com or gmail.com or any of the usual suspects, and you just won't believe how many people, idiot gringos, have not logged out from their emails and other accounts, including Skype, credit card, and bank account. They get on that computer, go into their Gmail, whatever, do their thing, check their mail, get on Google Drive, go into the cloud. They close the window or even shut the computer down, but they don't log off. They just close the window and walk away. For example, just this morning, I walked over to the front desk of a hotel lobby and I asked the guy to print out a little list for me. He said, no problem, go over to that computer over there. And he pointed to the common computer in the corner in the lobby. He said, log in, send me an email of that document, and I'll print it out here. So I got on that computer, clicked on Gmail, and when I began entering my email address to log in, there were not just one or two clueless gringos who hadn't logged out. There were seven on the list. And being the curious and nosy type, I clicked on the first one, and there I was, into the guy's email. Man, I was knee-deep in his personal world. And at that moment, if I had nefarious intent, I could have just ruined that guy's life. Or I could have eliminated his account altogether. So there's a lesson here. Do not let that happen to you. If you get on a public computer, log the hell out. That means you click on your name or your icon and you make sure you hit that log out button and check it twice. That means refresh that site and try to start logging in again as soon as you press the first few letters or words in your email address. If you're not truly logged out, you'll see the computer's saved your login data, and it'll come right up as soon as you start typing in the first few letters. That's a bad sign, meaning the computer stored your login data. So if it doesn't anticipate, you truly are logged out. Meanwhile, there's an army of clueless idiot gringos out there ripe for either sabotage or, worse yet, ID theft. You've heard the stories, how hackers can get personal data, credit card numbers, social security numbers, etc. Talk about ruining your day. And you know, seeing for myself how lax people are on those public computers, you have to wonder how much of that ID theft is due to stupid idiot gringo moves like not logging out. Although, I have to admit, many years ago when the internet was really crap here in Latin America and you had to go to a cafe internet to do any kind of computer work at all, I can't really say with 100% certainty I didn't screw up like that too. But please don't let that happen to you. Don't be a dumbass gringo. When you're done, log the hell out and check it twice. Oh, and I'm not just referring to the use of public computers here in Latin America either. I'm sure there are thousands of dummies doing the same thing on public computers up in the States. You're just asking to get your identity stolen, and you know who you are. Meanwhile, we were talking about the Chinese, right, and how they're winning the patent race all over the world now. Which brings us to this very interesting article coming out of a big Latin American newspaper in Chile. It says, it's projected that Chinese car and truck dealers will soon dominate the entire car and light truck market in all of Latin America. They even quote Bloomberg. That's weird. It says, within a decade, the Chinese will own the Latin American car market. In fact, it says in most Latin countries, they're close to having the highest market share already, fighting it out neck and neck with Toyota, who've had the major market share in all Latin American countries until now. Then it says just last week, Chile became the first Latin American country to report that Chinese vehicle sales topped those of all other manufacturers from all other countries. That according to Santiago's biggest newspaper, El Mercurio, stating that the most surprising thing of all is that Chinese automakers did not sell a single car in Chile only 10 years ago. And the reason is the price to feature ratio. Turns out all Chinese vehicles are pretty much copies of Toyotas, Nissans, Mazda, Mitsubishi, and the most popular Japanese car and truck lines. In fact, from a distance, many of the Chinese vehicles seem identical. Then it says, in addition to being number one in Chile, Chinese car and truck sales are projected to be number one in the markets in Ecuador, Peru, Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica, and Argentina by this time next year. Then it says, those top Chinese auto brands are number one, Great Wall, number two, Jack, J-A-C, number three, Geely, number four, Chengun, and number five, Haval. All right, me, Johnny, here again. Have you heard of any of those brands? Of course, I see them all the time down here. But do you see them in your own row of strip mall car dealerships up there in Seattle and Cleveland? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I've gone to the Chinese car dealerships, checked them out, kicked the tires, and they're definitely cheaper than Mazdas, Isuzus, and Toyotas. Probably around 15 to 20% less expensive. Yet they look pretty much the same. But personally, I still wouldn't buy one. To me, it seems like a repeat of 10 or 20 years ago when Kia and Hyundai, those South Korean car manufacturers, first broke into the States. Oh, they looked nice at first. I mean, everything new seems very nice, doesn't it? But as you probably know, they did not stand the test of time. Although now, 10 or 15 years later, they're winning all kinds of awards and accolades. And that to me is where the Chinese auto market is right now. And Latin Americans, being that they practically never investigate or look at what the critics and reviewers are saying about these cars. You see, Latinos seem to always buy strictly on the basis of price and the availability of financing, which is quite a new thing here too. Even 5 years ago, you'd have to put at least 10 or 20% down. But these days, with the glut of cars here in Latin America, you'll see many, many offers of zero money down, which means in most Latin countries, especially in Mexico and Central America, it's a buyer's, not a seller's market. There's simply a massive glut of cars, which can be a big problem for anyone who wants to sell a car quickly. Because, you know, we all seem to have this fault. We think our things are worth more than the rest of the world thinks they're worth. So it's not that you can't sell a car down here. It's just that you're probably not going to get what you think it's worth. Oh, and about the Chinese, don't think that they haven't got competition at the low end, too. The Indians are shipping all kinds of Mahindras. That's their so-called international generic car and truck brand, Mahindra. And man, are they ugly. Yep, I've looked at those too. I've kicked the tires and they really are pieces of junk. And every time I see a new Mahindra pickup on the highway, I'm thinking, there goes one stupid dumbass who didn't do his homework. All right, changing gears a bit, let's talk about suing people here in Latin America. Always an upbeat subject, eh? Today we have an op-ed piece written by a Latin American attorney, loosely translated, to sue or not to sue the bastards. And I'll paraphrase this just to cut out the fat. Starts out by saying, unfortunately, way too many North American gringo expats consider filing lawsuits once they get down here to Latin America before they ever try to resolve problems personally or through mediation. The first thing to remember that in Latin America, legal action is always considered a last resort, not a primary starting point. However, when gringos and expats arrive, if something doesn't go right, they get angry, storm into a lawyer's office and say, I want to sue the bastards. It's a first world cultural thing rearing its ugly head. That attitude, which is so pervasive, simply does not work in Latin America. Often what happens next is gringos and expats find out we are not a litigious society, so they end up wasting much time and money, only to find out along the way that the case has no merit. Or more likely, the case does have merit, but the client or person or business they're suing does not have the resources to satisfy the claim or judgment. So you might have the satisfaction of winning in court, but you're never going to recuperate your losses. And often the irritated client will tell his lawyer, I'll tell you what we'd do if we were back home. But what gringos and expats don't understand is that in Latin America, Napoleonic law is practiced, whereas most of the rest of the world, common law, like, for example, the U.S., Canada, and Britain. And there are some substantial differences. As one Latin lawyer says, when I visit the U.S., I'm always appalled at all the television ads and billboards encouraging lawsuits. This is the culture gringos come from and what they bring down with them. And this is why they think first of suing someone when they have any kind of problem. It's, to me, she says, a confirmation that the U.S. legal system is broken. Well, she got that right. She's on the money there. Though it certainly ain't the only thing up in the States that's broken, that's for sure. And then it goes on to say there seems to be a lot of built-in anger amongst U.S. citizens. They've all, it seems, have been sued before and have been in court. And then there's a statement from another Latin lawyer who's been practicing a long time. He says, I know of very few lawsuits filed by Americans that have been successful. And that includes cases where it's gringo versus gringo. He says, the cases that are ultimately decided in favor of foreigners often take years and years to resolve. So if you think the wheels of justice move slowly up in the States, you'll find it's a case of the tortoise and the hare when it comes to justice here in Latin America. Then the article says, watch out for Latin lawyers who say you have a case. Sure, it'll make you feel good when you think you could get some resolution, but in many situations, you'll find out that gringos, especially ones that don't speak Spanish, are just getting taken for a ride. And the other thing you're likely to find out is it seems like when it comes to law, lawyers, and judges, everyone's buddies or related, which in many cases doesn't make for a totally fair or just outcome, especially if you're going to sue a business that's been around for a long, long time. It's even worse if you try to sue a family or family member with an important name in the community, even if that person's a low-life dickhead. And don't forget, one of the main things to remember is that with Latins, especially upper-class Latins, it's all about the show. So, for example, you might get clobbered in an intersection by a guy with a Range Rover and two bodyguards, only to find out he's a couple of payments behind in his insurance policy. So you find out his policy's void, they won't pay. You take him to court, he loses, and guess what? You find out he's all mortgaged up, tapped out, owes everyone in town, including his bodyguards. You're in the right and you'll win the judgment, but chances are you'll never get paid. Welcome to the Latin American legal system.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.